Good morning and welcome along to this morning's meeting. There are no apologies. Order of business, Gordon?
Yeah, just a couple of things in connection with order of business. Firstly, just to advise members that item 8.1 on the agenda, which is in connection with an application for loan assistance, has actually been withdrawn from consideration at this meeting. The other thing to mention is that the Chair has agreed that under the Quarter 3 performance reports, the items 6.3, 6.4 and 6.5, which are Children's Services, Communities and Economy and Education, actually just move slightly up the agenda, so they are the first performance reports considered.
Members happy with that? Thank you. Any declarations of interest at this stage? None? Okay, thank you. I can mind you can raise a declaration at any stage. 4.1 minutes of the meeting of the Cabinet is 16th of January. That is a correct record. Members happy? Any issues arising? None? Okay, thank you. There are no public items of education. And 5.1, so we'll move directly to 6 and we'll go straight to 6.3, Children's Services.
Okay. Good morning, thank you, Chair. As we can see from the Quarter 3 reporting, the progress update in relation to disability, which in relation to the play scheme that we used to hold at Salters Gate, we're working hard with Vocal, who have now completed their report in relation to the consultation with parents in relation to what blender model we can actually bring forward for the summer play scheme. The report didn't identify any preference to what parents would like. So what we're doing is next week we have a meeting with all the service users in relation to trying to bring forward some suggestions from them, and then again we will go back out and consult with parents. Most importantly, we're updating parents on a regular basis in relation to the progress that we're making with this, which is an area that of concern previously. Our child protection figures, there's been a decrease in our child protection figures and also our looked after figures, which again I think is evidence of the early intervention work that we're undertaking. We continue to work with PACE, which is a national organisation which is looking at all children who are accommodated under the age of 12. And looking at getting permanence plans in place for within a very tight time scale and ensuring that they move into permanence or back home speedily. So we will report on that once the annual report comes forward. Also from the report, people can see a breakdown of the looked after population, which is seeing a decrease as we go forward, which is positive. Hawthorne Family Learning Centre is working in partnership with education in relation to piloting the 30 hours for 3 to 5 year olds. We have 16 children there from education and along with our own families from the Hawthorne Family Centre. We also have 7 children who are placed up at Pennycook along with Sheerstadt, who would normally attend Hawthorne, and this pilot is getting really, really positive feedback, so I can update members as and if they would like further information in relation to this. Residential care is continuing to have a settled period, which is really positive going forward. We're looking at changing the 4-bedroom houses up in Pennycook and Dalkeith to 5-bedroom houses, which would require the same amount of staff in relation to supervisory levels, and this work is just beginning to take effect and should be in place by the summertime. The family placement team are continuing, as I say, with PACE and obviously trying to recruit foster carers, which in consultation with our neighbouring authorities still is a challenge going forward in relation to what private agencies are offering. However, we're committed to an ongoing campaign, and hopefully with more houses being built within Midlothian, etc., we will get more people choosing to undertake this piece of important work. The challenges and the risks, the challenges obviously in relation to the budget, we still have several young people that are insecure and waiting outcomes, one of them from a court process, and this continues to be a challenge as we go forward. Scottish Abuse Inquiry, at quarter three we had 3 Section 21 requests. I can now update that there's been another 2 submitted, so that's an ongoing piece of work and as a large piece of work as we go forward, but happy to take any questions.
Thanks, Joan. Questions, comments? Jim?
Really, really just to commend the staff working in this area. It is a very difficult area with a number of challenges, and working in an ever-changing environment as well. You know, one or two events can have such a significant effect on the workload that particular council service has. So it's really just to commend the staff for their efforts in working in quite challenging situations.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments, questions? John, can I just ask, go and remind me what a Section 21 request in the Scottish Child Abuse things, could you sort of remind me of what that is? You've probably dealt me already and it's out of my head. And in comparison to other local authorities, are we, is the workload or the traffic on that, is it higher in these areas or lesser?
Okay. Section 21 request is a request from Lady Smith, who chairs the Scottish Child Abuse Inquiry. She submits a request to Kenneth as the Chief Executive, who then passes it to myself, in order to undertake research in relation to residential childcare provisions that we provided back to, back in time, as far back as we can go. There are also more specific requests in relation to Nazareth House, St Joseph's, because we've had both organisations, obviously, within Midlothian. So, yeah, it's reports that we submit in relation to the background. I would have to comment that both the senior counsel and the other lawyer that we actually liaise with are coming out to see us next Monday, because the reports that we submit are one of the highest standard that they've ever seen, and want to come out and talk to us in relation to the quality of the reports that we've submitted to date, in particular the one in July, which was all about every single organisation that we had within Midlothian. So a huge amount of good work that's going on. I think we're a lot further forward than our neighbouring local authorities, and obviously, you know, the rest of the team liaise with them on a regular basis, but yeah, certainly the quality of work that we're providing has been recognised by Lady Smith and her team, and I can report back following that visit.
Thanks for that, because I'm still going to ask the next question. You've probably answered it, but, and that is, are you confident, are we confident that the reports we're getting are detailed enough, and we're making sure that we've covered every piece of ground? Because I think there's nothing worse than these kind of inquiries if at a later stage it's found that there was information there that we should have shared. Are we 100% clear on that? And the last part I'll have is, are you happy enough with the resource that we have put in there? Do you think that what we've allocated in resource for manpower is still going to be, now that you've got a taster for what's coming, do you still think that that's going to be sufficient to deal with this?
In relation to the standard of reports and the team that I have working on this, I'm 100% confident. They're very thorough, they're very professional in the work that they undertake. One is a social worker, so understands the nature of the complexity of the research that we're undertaking, and another two workers obviously do, you know, identify what papers, etc., that they need to work with. So I think a combination of them all together is really, really positive. Going forward, we obviously need to make sure that we keep that calibre of staff, and there's going to be a position coming up vacant shortly, but I've been reassured following a meeting yesterday that that post will be advertised with immediate effect, so that we should fill that gap, and if there is any gaps, I would know who to go to in relation to finding alternative solutions to make sure that we keep on track with things. So.
Okay, thanks for that. Is there any other questions on that issue? Okay, John, thank you. Move on now to 6.4, communities and economy. Ian.
Thanks, Chair. Just to pick up on a number of items, rather than go through the whole of the front two pages of the report, but just to pick on three or four things. In November, the adoption of the Midlothian Local Development Plan is a really significant milestone. It means that for the Council's planning authority, it maximises its ability to meet housing need, particularly in the affordable housing sector, to be able to promote the economy most effectively, to protect and enhance the environment in Midlothian, and to control inappropriate development. It is a major, major step forward, and it certainly gives the Council maximum opportunity to control matters and to take matters forward and to maximise the outcomes for the economy and for those in housing need. Also in November, the Community Planning Day took place, which was well attended. I mean, a broad-based community input to the agenda for communities in Midlothian, and particularly relevant at the minute because of the implementation of the Community Empowerment Act. Many of the clauses are now coming into effect. including community asset transfer, the development of participatory budgeting, and the Council's own services with the Communities Transformation Programme. So that's very much an area of expanding work. Just on City Deal, just to remind you that the heads of terms were signed back in July last year. The expectation is that the full deal and the full details of that would be prepared and considered by the two governments in the spring of this year, so in a few months' time. In terms of where this council stands, we've had close liaison with the University of Edinburgh because their Easter Bush proposals are central to a lot of the work we want to see coming forward in City Deal and Midlothian, but particularly with the transport, strategic transport connections, which are vital, both to the A702 and to the A701 through the new relief road, which is proposed in the local plan. And we have had a couple of meetings with Transport Scotland to talk about that, but also to touch on progress they're making with the A720 Sheriff Hall Junction upgrade. Just to mention briefly that in November also the Council won two national awards at the Scottish Awards for Quality and Planning, both related to Dalkeith, one for the work at Dalkeith Town Centre over the period 2010 to 2015, and also for the renovation of the Corn Exchange building. Just picking up on some of the challenges, I suppose the ones I want to pick out are the key one is providing infrastructure to keep pace with the scale and speed of new housing development, which is now rising through the local plan. The action programme came to Council at the last meeting of Council, which is aiming to try and take that forward, but it is the biggest challenge we've got probably and the one that the communities appear to be most anxious about, and that's perhaps understandable. We certainly need to work on confirming City Deal investment in Midlothian. That's not to say it's a complete bean feast at the minute and a conflict, but we do need to make sure that in areas like strategic transport and centres of excellence in our schools, we need to make sure we confirm City Deal investment. Implementing the spirit as well as the letter of the Community Empowerment Act, and I touched on that just a few moments ago. And the other area which probably we're currently perhaps weaker on than we should be, which I'm putting some effort into, is a review and a refocus of our economic development service and the way we're taking things forward. In areas such as the LEADER programme and Business Gateway, we're doing fine, we're meeting targets, but we need to be more proactive now in terms of simple things like looking at provision of premises for small businesses, of which there's quite a dearth in this area. So, Chair, that's just a brief run round. Obviously, happy to pick up on any of those items or anything else that's in the report.
Questions, comments? John.
Thanks, Chair. Just looking at the report with the LEADER funding in the rural kind of sector, what could you give us a flavour of what sort of projects are getting approval and how that's impacting on the rural economy?
I'm just thinking of a couple of we've signed off recently. One was a small sort of family distillery, which is setting up, which is taking on more staff and developing and has a community element to it. Also, there's a programme for holiday residential accommodation for children with disabilities and disadvantaged children. There are a couple of examples. But also, we were looking at that there is money set aside in various pots under LEADER, including for farm diversification. And there was a meeting with East Lothian and Midlothian farmers about a couple of weeks ago, and also there's another meeting of Midlothian farmers in a week's time where we're reinforcing the message. Neil Ramsey, the manager, will be speaking at that. There's also the opportunity for what they call coordinated schemes, so a part of the money, the LEADER money, for Tyne and Esk LEADER is set aside for joint projects with other LEADER programmes. So we've currently got what I think would be a very good programme with the Borders LEADER, Scottish Borders LEADER programme for footpath, recreational footpath and cycleway links up and down really the sort of Borders corridor, Borders rail corridor. So there's a number of various projects that try to stimulate the economy. Some provide jobs, some provide more access to the countryside. So it's a variety.
Thanks, Chair. Just a follow-up comment. It makes note the report about the Business Improvement District for Dalkeith, and just a personal word of thanks to members of your team for the support that the council have offered. It's community-led bids application from One Dalkeith, and I've had some involvement with that, so I'm maybe abusing my position a bit here, but just to thank you and your team for the support that we've had. It's been really welcome, and I'm looking forward to the success of that project. That's obviously at the hands of the business community in Dalkeith.
Okay. Is there any other questions on that? Ian, sorry, you spoke a bit about your emerging challenges and risks, but I can't see anything in the paper that outlines what the emerging challenges and risks are. There's usually a section at the end in each of the places. Certainly in the paper copy I've got, and I checked with the clerk there, I can't find it as neither. Oh, right, sorry. I'm catching it right up at the top. Sorry. Are there any other questions for Ian on this? Okay. Thanks, Ian. Move on to 6.5, education. Please.
Thank you. So, committed to the creation of a world-class education system through excellence and equity, the report for this quarter focuses on quarter three for the total education service this time. The theme for the year is Mind the Gap, taking a closer look at progression, progression, progression. And at the start of each quarterly report over the course of this year, I just outlined what the three main strategic priorities are. They're raising attainment and achievement, learning provision and leadership. So for this quarter, we're focusing on raising attainment through the broad general education. This is because the Scottish Government published for the second time the Curriculum for Excellence levels back in December. So the table on that page two of that report shows the comparison between this year's and last year's results. And there were improvements in 14 out of 6 of the key measures. However, attainment for each of those measures is still below the national average, so that's why it needs to be an area of focus for us. So in order to bring Curriculum for Excellence attainment in line with the national average, we've implemented rigorous attainment meetings in the primary sector, mirroring the good work that was undertaken in the secondary sector, taking really focused look at this, and these are going well this year. In terms of closing the gap, however, relating to pupils within SIMD 1 and 2, the following improvements are notable when we compare the achievements this year with last year. There was a 7.16% improvement by the end of primary 1, a 9.74% improvement by the end of P4, an 8.27% improvement by the end of P7, and a staggering 17.6% improvement by the end of S3. So we know that something's going right in terms of closing that gap. What we now need to do is raise the bar overall. In terms of learning provision, we're continuing to focus on improving attendance and reducing exclusions. And I think in quarter three, in terms of exclusions, there's some significant drops to report. So a drop of 31% exclusions in the primary sector when we compare this quarter with the same quarter last year, and a drop of 2% in the secondary sector. So we would still like the secondary sector exclusions to improve considerably. However, attendance has not made the same level of progress. So what we're going to do in order to address that is both Joan and myself are going to undertake a joint attendance campaign between children's services and education in order to really raise the profile of this overall. So some of that's to do with the way that attendance is recorded, but other things are to do with ingrained non-attendance issues that we really want to uncover and get to the bottom of over the course of quarter four and into next year. So we'll be really raising the profile there. In terms of early years, obviously we've cited a number of reports on the expansion to 1140 hours. This is moving at some pace now because we need to be ready in full for 2020. So we have an expansion working group which has 4 work streams itself. These groups meet regularly. They've got very clear and focused work plans. We also submitted plans prior to the Scottish Government, and we had a previous report to Council on that. We're now working towards another plan that was to be ready for the end of February. They've changed the date, and that's now to be ready for the end of March, so we'll be sharing that soon. In terms, however, of the early years reporting on progress, we're really pleased that the percentage of children meeting their developmental milestones has improved. So although we saw by the end of P1 the Curriculum for Excellence levels not achieving such a good increase. We're actually seeing in the nursery stages the developmental milestones improving, so that will have a knock-on effect when they then move into primary one, which is good news. In terms of lifelong learning and employability service, from October to December, there were a number of important key events to support the development of skills for learning life and work. LLE, in partnership with Employability Learning Midlothian, also hosted the second employability conference, agreeing the priorities for employment and learning across the whole of Midlothian. There was also an increase in the number of businesses, learners and job seekers who participated, so over 100 people actually attended that event. And we've also strengthened the partnerships that are actually in place, and we had the big roadshow that took place just on Monday of this week. So we're really working on improving our positive destinations even further. It's also important to mention that LLE have also worked in partnership with Crisis Homeless Charity to extend the construction learning offers to adults, and that's been some really good work. The latter page of the report just outlines the emerging challenges and risks, and also includes some information about the Education Governance Bill.
Thanks, Grace. Questions, comments? Jim?
Yeah, just to say, and the whole area of the efforts that have been put and the focus that's been put into raising attainment and achievement, I think what comes across throughout this paper is the quality of the data that we're now collecting is vital to moving forward, and to be able to use that data to target your resources and look for areas that need additional effort, additional resource, additional work done. Is key to moving forward. So it's really heartening to see that kind of thing being put into practice by the council. I think the early years challenges are significant. The 1140 hours are going to be significant, particularly with a council our size in an extremely fast growing population. Puts additional pressures on us that perhaps some other local authorities are not going to have with implementation of the 1140 hours, and that they have some spare capacity within their school estate. We clearly don't. That's going to be a huge challenge going forward. I think your comments about looking to improve the positive destinations is key as well, and I'm glad that the council agreed a budget that protected the areas staffing that particularly target the positive destinations, and making sure that we continue to improve that. So as I said, I think we've passed a budget at the last council meeting that also recognises the growth and the population in Midlothian, and make sure that we are growing or increasing our budgets when it comes to teaching staff and learning assistants and the likes. Thanks for the efforts that you're putting in, and particularly focusing in on the areas that matter most on the basis of the data that's been collected.
Thanks for that. Vic?
Thanks, Leader. Like Jim, there's a lot of really, really good news to be recorded here, and as Jim has said, the kind of data we now get makes it very easy for us to analyse both the strengths and the areas where we wish to improve. My questions are really more sort of about what things are, and maybe there's a few of them. The first one relates to visible learning, which I must admit I'm a big fan of. My first question is, what is impact cycle training? My second question is, you did highlight quite strongly, Grace, the whole issue of attendance. And I know over certainly my time involved with this council, we have had a number of initiatives. Putting just one side the point you raised about the real problem cases, how do we deal with sort of what I call run-of-the-mill attendance? Do we have certain procedures? Do we have certain good practices in certain schools? And two other minor things. Could I seek clarification on Gaelic provision? I know this is something that we've raised before. I'm not aware that you know, what Gaelic provision means in Midlothian. I have my own views on Gaelic provision, which I'll not express in this chamber. And finally, where are we in terms of the Scottish Government's named person? I'm not clear where the Scottish Government is on this. In other words, the sort of 4 points of clarification more than anything else, having recorded my pleasure at seeing some of the data and the improvements that have been recorded in this paper. Thank you.
Okay, visible learning, the impact cycle training is training for staff from visible learning practitioners to enable them to understand and to be able to evidence the impact of their work in terms of raising attainment. So we're really key that we don't want to be implementing initiatives that don't raise attainment, and that's also helping those practitioners who are managing to raise attainment, demonstrating that through evidence and sharing that with other practitioners. So that's what that is. So we're doing that impact cycle training over a 2-year period. So half the schools have been trained this year and half the schools have been trained the following year. HMI also are looking much more closely into how individual practitioners in the classroom, the impact of their individual efforts on raising attainment. So that's going to really help square the circle there. In terms of attendance, we have the weekly dashboard now, and that tracks attendance and exclusion. So we're now able to see on a weekly basis the schools that are outperforming other schools in terms of both the Midlothian average and the national average. And we created aspirational targets, but the schools in particular that are really punching above their weight are schools like Glencorse, for example. So what we're doing there is we're looking at what systems are in place in those schools, and we're sharing that practice across all of our schools. Slightly different in the secondary sector because they have different issues. So we've actually set up a new DHT pupil support network. So we're going to be sharing that across the secondary sector where we're picking up examples of good practice, because these things are really quite easy for somebody to go to a meeting, collect a few top tips and come back and implement them. In terms of Gaelic provision, so under the Education Act that was just passed, just there, not the new act that might be coming. Gaelic, the provision of Gaelic was part of that act. Currently, we still have placing requests to Gaelic provision in Edinburgh, so to Tyne Parka and to the secondary school. So that's currently where our Gaelic provision is actually undertaken, because we actually don't have the demand here to provide the Gaelic provision within Edinburgh, and that so far is working well. However, there is pressure on places within Tyne Parka as well. So that is something that we'll need to look at over time. And in terms of the named person, Mary might want to come in here, but that actually stalled at the first stage. So we're no further forward in terms of the implementation of the named person at this point. So we're still, we discuss that regularly. It's a standing item at the GIRFEC board. But until we get further information from the Scottish Government in terms of taking that forward, we're just sticking so far with the fact that it's stalled at the first legal stage there.
Are there any other questions or comments? Grace, probably the only question I really have for you is, given the demographic growth in pupil numbers and that, and the problems we're having, not just with head teachers, but teachers, are you confident that we'll be able to attract the increased number of teachers and head teachers that we're going to need for the next academic year? Or are we going to have problems in attracting the additional teachers that we require?
I think all local authorities, what we're seeing just now with the impact of attainment challenge funding and pupil equity funding is that an increase in the number of teachers in some areas and not in others. So we're seeing a bit of a disparity across Scotland. The government have invested more money in teacher training, so I think over time we'll see more teachers come into the system. I wouldn't say I'm 100% confident that we're going to manage to fill all the places. We're currently concerned about the denominational sector in particular. So we do have two temporary shared headships in place just now, and we are having ongoing conversations about approval and the retention of Catholic teachers who some leave to gain promoted posts in other places. Within the secondary sector, there are some specific subject areas of concern, maths being one of them. Science is another concern. For some years, home economics has been a concern, and that's something that government is looking at. What we were trying to do with the concerns around maths was, if through the creation of the new Centre for Excellence in Digital at Newbattle, we can actually have the connected classrooms idea, which means in one, say, a maths, higher maths classroom can be connected up with a series of other maths classrooms across the South East Collaborative. We're hoping that that will actually help where there is a shortage of specialisms, and for science, that was our hope around about the A701 corridor. So I do think moving forward, we need to work for more sustainable solutions. If that workforce isn't there, it's how we actually create a different method of teaching moving forward. But the provision of teachers is going to be something that is challenging moving forward, and it's something that I put down there in the risk. The one good news that we had last year, remember, we secured the team of permanent supply teachers for the primary sector. That worked really quite well, because when we go into the winter period where we had some vacancies, where we couldn't attract people, at least we had some permanent staff we could then place in schools. And we've also used that mechanism to place some teachers in Catholic primaries where they maybe didn't need the approval for that short period of time where they were in the primary for a term. So we just need to keep working on innovative solutions to a problem.
Okay, that's fine. Is there any other questions or comments? Okay, Grace, thank you for that. Okay. We now move back to the normal running order, and we'll move back to item 6.1, which is adult social care. Kevin, I take it you're here for this.
Thanks, Chair. Yep, covering for health and social care. In the past quarter, adult health and social care services have continued the redesign to the integration agenda, and in that context, a property strategy was developed for consideration by the IJB. And progress in the delivery of that is evident with the recovery hub being proposed for the co-location of mental health, substance misuse and criminal justice services to work in an integrated way following the funding approval at Council for that to proceed. In terms of older people, clearly with the current winter pressures, there has been increased capacity at the hospital home service to keep people out of hospital where that's appropriate, and similarly Highbank Care Home continues to be busy supporting intermediate care to avoid unnecessary hospital admissions there. In learning disabilities, we had delivery of TV at Court. That's the development of 12 houses for people with complex care needs in Pennycook, and that continues to be occupied on a phased approach in terms of the nature of the client group. We didn't have everybody moving in at the same time. In criminal justice, January saw the introduction of Safe and Together. This is a new framework for partnering with domestic violence survivors, which is particularly prevalent in our area, and the interviewing with domestic violence perpetrators in terms of the context of safety and well-being of children. That's usually because predominantly fathers who are in prison consider themselves to be good fathers, but the point is made that how can they be in relation to their activities for domestic abuse. In terms of funding pressures, there's a continuing requirement to seek major efficiencies whilst there's growing demand. However, there has been an improved budget position with a reduction quarter on quarter for health and social care. That's been delivered through systemised review in packages of care at resource panel, and I'm aware that there's been a briefing to elected members on packages of care, and also a reduction in the care at home costs. Looking ahead, we anticipate clearly to report to Cabinet in terms of the positive inspection report that's been published for the Council's New Byres Care Home. But the counterpoint to that is the non-Council care home at Springfield, which is currently subject to a large-scale investigation. And happy to take any questions back to colleagues from members. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any questions for Kevin, or can we just direct them straight to either Alison or Alistair, whoever the appropriate officer is? Okay, thanks for that, Kevin. Can we now move on to Customer and Housing Services? Isabel, I think you'll feel more at home, Kevin.
Thank you. I recognise the pun, Chair. The Strategic Housing Investment Plan was approved by Council in the last quarter and submitted to Scottish Government. And indeed, we've had official feedback, which was favourable in terms of the resource bid for our continuing housing supply programme and the investment in the existing stock. The allocation itself has not yet been confirmed. That's yet to proceed through. In December, we saw the introduction of the Private Housing Tenancy Scotland Act. This is applying to all new private sector tenancies from the 1st of December, and essentially is bringing the lease terms and conditions to match what is prevalent in the public sector in terms of those expectations and the duration and the security of tenure in that sector now. It also introduces rent pressure zones, and local councils can apply for that designation. I don't anticipate that for us. Certainly, we're aware the City of Edinburgh and Aberdeen City are making submissions in that regard, because there is a due process to consult with landlords and tenants. But as I say, I don't anticipate that to feature for us. But, of course, we bring that forward to members if that position changed. In terms of revenues, we carried out the consultation on the rent strategy, and the results of that have since been reported to Council in the current quarter to determine the future rent charges from 2019 and 20 in terms of continuing to fund the social housing programme element from rents that's required. In community safety, the strategic assessment was determined together with partners at the Community Planning Day in terms of designating the priorities, which are detailed there in the report. And we saw the introduction of the Police Community Action Team reinstated in December, and that has been working successfully and has been reported separately to the Police and Fire Board in terms of the outcomes achieved there. From customer services, in the context of digital-led transformation, we're presently working with East Lothian Council on joint procurement of a revised customer relationship management system, and that will certainly prove beneficial, again, for future integrated working prospects. In terms of the challenges, clearly there's been the financial strategy process through Council, and Customer and Housing Services proposals and timescales are now taking place for realising those savings across our services. Within homelessness, the introduction of Poulton Centre and Pentland have been now fully occupied. And there has been a care inspectorate inspection carried out, which we will report to Council, through Cabinet and PRS in due course. This is now delivering on those savings that the proposals planned, and similarly feature in terms of the financial strategy for Customer and Housing Services to continue to do more of that kind of work in the reuse of our buildings, and that is more beneficial in terms of the environment for homeless clients and also for the savings that are derived to the homelessness budget. In terms of welfare reform, there was a separate report to November Council, and that indicated the impacts that there are on council income and also the effects to households, which is evidenced in the increase in Scottish Welfare Fund. And lastly, in terms of revenue challenges, there was an arrears recovery internal audit with a recommendation of housing benefit debt being reported to members, which we haven't done previously, which is why that factors here in the report this time. But we will clearly have a new measure for that in terms of the standard reporting in the new financial year. And happy to pause for questions, Chair.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Derek. Thanks, Kevin. Just a couple of comments. Just to acknowledge that the Council did approve the Midlothian Strategic Housing Plan back in November, and that we're embarking on an extensive house building programme that's already started, actually, and there's a commitment to build 1,000 new council houses over the term of this council. I think the Private Housing Tenancy Scotland Act 2016 is welcomed. It provides clarity, particularly for tenants, but also for landlords as well. Rent pressure zones, I think I was going to ask a question if it's something that you'd anticipate that we face something on the horizon, but you're saying that's not something we're likely to become a problem or an issue for us. Community safety. Just to welcome the successful reintroduction of the community action teams. I know I've spoke to many constituents and it's been very well received, and we look forward to the report coming to the Police and Fire and Rescue Board in due course. Customer services, the CRM system, just like to congratulate you on the work that's been undertaken there between yourselves and East Lothian. And the welfare reform, universal credit, has been spoken about already in this chamber and the impact that's going to have on councils throughout Scotland. Particularly, I mean, when we look at the average the impact on average rent arrears between, well, from April last year, between housing benefit recipients, universal credit claimants. It's over £440, which is quite staggering. And also the impact on the Scottish Welfare Fund, the crisis grant applications increased by 20%. So. Okay.
Thanks for that. Any other questions or comments for Gavin? Okay, Gavin, thank you. Now move on to commercial operations. John, is it you?
Yep, thanks. Leader, with your indulgence, I'll do the next three reports together. In general, terms, quarter three is very much building on work in progress from previous quarter, so I won't dwell. The focus across the division for the last 8 or 9 months has been on the budget, and now Council made decisions 2 weeks ago today. We're implementing the changes, but also, equally importantly, we're putting in place robust management arrangements to monitor the changes. Turning specifically to commercial operations, there's a number of partnerships set out in the report. Zero Waste Facility with Edinburgh Council, the Lothian Borders Fife Partnership with Roads, shared services with Health and Safety for East Lothian Council, and that's a feature of the work going forward. Looking towards the second half of 2018, the Muller Hill Waste Facility comes on stream, and we're currently in dialogues with the contractor and Edinburgh Council, working out the transitional arrangements and getting the facility up and running. Within Land Services, we're undertaking some work in the Scottish Borders area for Hart Builders, who's one of our framework contractors. And also within landscaping, there's been a significant amount of volunteer time generated by the Rangers Service. Within Health and Safety, building on the Entrepreneurial Council, a training calendar has been established, and Cabinet will also be pleased to note that we've held a contingency planning meeting yesterday, and we're holding one later today in advance of the weather forecast. And finally, within Road Services, decriminalised parking will come in place in Midlothian at the beginning of April. Leader, I'll pause at that point if any members have got questions on commercial operations.
John.
Thanks, Derek. just to pass on congratulations to the Roads team for becoming APSE finalists. I think that's the second year that that's happened in a row. That's a UK-wide award, I'm led to believe. So for the second smallest authorities road team to reach those giddy heights 2 years in a row, I think is really quite outstanding, particularly in light of the budget pressures that they've had over the last few years. And just on that budget issue, again, like Jim, I'm pleased that we've passed a budget that's protected some of the needs of a growing community with terms of roads and other areas. But I think it highlights some of the pressures, and I'm thinking of all the additional traffic with all these new houses that are coming online and growing businesses. It just has to sharpen our mind about how we intend to fund road infrastructure and other infrastructure across the county in such tight budget constraints for the years ahead. But thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on commercial operations? John?
Thanks again, Leader. Turning to finance and integrated service support. Council, 2 weeks ago today, we heard about the improvement in the financial performance, and through our finance team, we've put in robust scrutiny arrangements. Also within the Directorate, we're looking at all transactions to ensure that only essential spend is maintained. Moving on to communications, we've rolled out the new e-newsletter, which is replacing the former in-brief, which, to be fair, was a bit tired. And also colleagues within digital services have maintained cyber security, which is an ongoing challenge. And finally, within our business services, the purchase-to-pay project is rolling out, and our received a demonstration of some of the technology, moving away from a person-based system to a process-based system, and I was actually blown away. So what a positive work there, making processes more efficiently. Again, Leader, I'll pause if colleagues have any questions.
Are there any questions for John on the finance and aggregate service support? Okay, John, if you want to move on to 6.8, property and facilities management.
Thanks again, Leader. We've set out in the support the key programmes and the number of visions, and again we've got successful partnerships with Melville House and Rise, and also just at the weekend in terms of Mid-Aid we received another commendation for the work in partnership with the local churches. We're doing a significant amount of work in conjunction with Mary's directorate regarding the learning estate strategy. And looking forward, we'll be bringing reports to Council on a number of strategic projects over the currency of the next few months, including the depot and the town centre. In terms of the emerging challenges, the new battle centre is opening in May, and that will provide both challenges and opportunities, and we're working across the Council to ensure that facility is of the highest standard when it opens. So, again, Leader, I'll pause there if Cabinet's any questions.
Questions or comments? Okay, Vic.
Thanks, Leader. Just a couple of small items to do with education. I was quite interested to read the decline in high school meal uptake. Now, I mean, I feel we have moved over the years progress-wise in providing what I call more snack, I call it even grazing, of healthy options. I wonder, are there any sort of bright ideas floating around there that would perhaps help us to do that? I know I should know this, but I have over the years monitored, obviously, what's gone on at Hill End with much pleasure, I have to say. And I wonder if John has got any information on how the Destination Hill End project is moving and what sort of things are happening there. It's just a couple of personal interests. Thanks, Leader.
I just want to touch on your first question about how we continue to try to get a better uptake of the healthy school meals. I think the best thing that could happen for all councils in Scotland would be for the Scottish Government to come together with their planning system and their education system to allow us to protect high schools. You look, for example, at Lashmead High School, where we opened the brand new school, and a unit 100 years down the road opens a hot food takeaway. This council refuses consent, but through the planning system, the appeal system worked. So therefore, you've got it. I can almost guarantee as new battle opens, the shops as close to it will start to look to say, well, how can we attract your youngsters in? So conjoining the two systems, the health eating education system and the planning system, would actually help somewhat. But I'll let John give you the officer answer.
Thanks, Leader.
No, I think the Leader makes a valid point about the competitors, and we're always trying to innovate our school meals, and we've put in portable units in last week, trying to do it in New Battle. But at the end of the day, the teenagers have got choices, and into the New Battle area, where the kids tend to walk a long distance to go to school compared to others, they will find other outlets. There are a number of outlets in that community, so we'll just do our best to try and keep them within the school. But teenagers are teenagers. In terms of Destination Hill End, the first thing I'll say is Hill End, about 4 or 5 years ago, was in a difficult financial position. We managed to turn it around, so the next phase is to look at going forward. That will include the potential of increasing the parking, building retail units, bringing in innovative facilities such as zip wires and tobogganing, and a whole number of various projects, and it will be subject to probably a seminary council once we've got the plans developed, and more importantly, and equally importantly, is the business case. So quite an exciting project, and we'll all be reporting into probably a seminar to council then on to council over the next period.
Thanks, John and Leader.
Okay, thanks, John. John?
Just a quick observation, maybe for Vic. As you know, I didn't go to school around here. I went in Australia, where we weren't allowed to leave school at high school. And that's something I can't quite understand and fathom here, that pupils are allowed to walk off campus. And I don't know if that has always been the case or if that's sort of recent culture, but we had teachers at the gates and you weren't allowed to leave without your parents' permission, and that was a way in which you could stop people from accessing hot takeaways and all of that sort.
Yes, I've seen variations of this. Certainly in many schools it used to be the case that first and second year pupils couldn't leave the school. But we get tremendous pressures from parents. I've got rights, I want to leave the school, blah, blah, blah. It is very difficult. I mean, I would favour the youngsters staying within school and trying to restrict the competition, but it's very, very difficult in the real world to do. I know when I was at BSLAC, we tried all sorts of techniques, but at the end of the day, I have to be quite honest, the school meal uptake was not good. Certainly when I was there at that time, because there was a lot of competition, as the leader has said. But I'd love to think we could at least say to first and second year where we're trying to influence them, but I know there'll be pressure to ignore that.
Yeah, and unlike in Australia, the Scottish kids can climb fences. Okay, is there any other questions or comments? Okay, John, thank you for that. Can we now move on to the private items in the agenda? I don't think there's any members of the public here. Oh, sorry, I better not forget Kenneth. We'll just have the overview of the Midlothian Council.
Thank you, Chair. The details, I suppose, have been covered in the various service reports, and I won't repeat that. I suppose what I would say is that overall performance is, broadly speaking, fairly strong across the Council. I think there's a lot of ambition about what we're doing. I think there's a lot of positive work ongoing, and we clearly need to remain focused on areas of performance which we don't yet regard as being strong enough and where we want to improve further. In terms of quarter three, I would comment, as I think John did, on improved financial performance, and that ongoing financial discipline is clearly going to be fundamentally important to us. The quarter three report was clearly written in advance of the budget decisions. But now these decisions have been taken, a robust implementation plan for that, taking account of those that are affected by the changes, is a top priority for us. Within that, there's, from my perspective, a clear need to revisit the Council's transformation strategy. We have the new reviews which have been agreed, the Entrepreneurial Council, Digital Customer Service, Services with Communities, and scoping these out and taking them forward are fundamental, and also very cognizant of the Council's approval of a series of bottom-up reviews, and getting that programme in place and moving ahead with that is another priority. More broadly, and again, we've touched on this in a number of the service areas today, is working with the implications of being the fastest growing Council. Councillor Muir had touched on the early years aspect. The learning estates strategy is critical. The Council's ambitious housing programme, health and social care, and other infrastructure needs, getting a clear sense of how we move that forward, tying that all together in a comprehensive capital strategy, and ensuring that that is affordable in the context of our very challenging revenue position. So these are some of the really important issues for us moving forward. And with the budget now agreed, we need to focus and deliver on these, Leader.
Thanks for that, Kevin. Any questions for Kenneth? Okay, thank you. So can we now move on to the private items in the agenda, item 7.